Well, we're going to continue today talking about prayer. And as I mentioned, basically prayer is just talking to God, having a conversation with Him. We talk to Him, He talks to us. Worship, giving, our lives can be prayer. And prayer is not difficult, it's easy. It's very, basically very simple, but actually doing it is another thing. Sometimes this life crowds out the most important things in our lives. And God needs us to pray. One minister said this, prayer is the catalyst which brings forth God's ability on the earth. God's got power. He has ability, things that He wants to do on the earth. And our prayers, our words, open the door for Him to do that. John Wesley said this, it seems God is limited by our prayer life. Isn't that amazing? God is limited by our prayer life, that He can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks Him. And we talked last week about the power of asking. We talked about praying to the Father in the name of Jesus. We talked about launching our prayers from the platform of God's Word. But then we mentioned the importance we have not because we ask not to make requests. And sometimes we can get lazy or sloppy or just get comfortable, but He still needs us to ask because He's given us the authority. He's not going to force His will, even though He desires for all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants to be the God and Father of all of, you know, every person. But it's up to us to decide if that's what we want. And then we have to decide what we want in our lives. Do we want to have what the world offers, or do we want what God offers? And then when we make that decision, we want what's in here, then we have to do some things on purpose, some things that we do to bring these things to pass in our lives, to bring God's ability. That's what faith is about. Faith is basically going into God's pile and bringing Him over to our side. It's going into the spirit realm and bringing it into this natural realm. That's why the Bible talks about living by faith and the importance of faith. Let's turn back over to Philippians chapter 4. Ended last week with that, some verses there, and we'll pick it back up right there. Philippians chapter 4, in verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing. That's good, isn't it? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Have to ask. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So let's take a moment and let's look at a few of the words in these verses here. One word is the word anxious, and the other word is the word peace. Because He says if we're anxious, for us to pray. And if we'll do that, then we'll have peace. So let's talk about a couple of these words and kind of looked a little deeper into both of these. The word anxious means to have a care. Ever had a care? It means troubled, distracted, burdened. And at its very definition, it means to have a divided mind. Now, what does that mean? A divided mind is you may be doing one thing and trying to think about what you need to be thinking about, and you keep getting off onto your problems, your situations, your deals. You know what I'm talking about? And it's difficult to stay focused. Your mind is divided. It's like you're flip-flopping. You're going back and forth. And so there's two kind of cares, really, that we're talking about in Philippians 4. The first one is anxiety that comes from the basic necessities of life, provision. And you can do a good study on that over in Matthew chapter 6. It's the same word for care there. And, you know, Nate has a good song on that, I'm Better Than a Bird. You know, having our cares, but, you know, our clothing, food, transportation, our housing, bills. Anybody here have any debts? Couple hands, few people. And these are the basic the provision that we need. And so, again, Susie was talking about that, about the necessity of finances. It's pretty important. Now, our life is just not about that. There's more important things than that. But it's important to have the provision that we need to be able to do what God's calling us to do. And anxiety, and I'll get to the second one here. And then the second one is, and so that's Matthew 6. And then the second part of this care is the events of life. And that's over in Luke chapter 10. Remember the story about Mary and Martha? And that's just about situations, circumstances, events in our lives. And a lot of times worry, anxiety is something in the future. Now, it may be something we're dealing with, but it's something that, you know, we're kind of imagining, or the enemy's wanting us to imagine, and it's stressing us out. So anxiety comes from taking the burden of life on your shoulders in your own strength, in your own ability, trying to work it out. Does that make sense? Anxiety, being anxious, comes from taking the burden of life on your shoulders, and in your own strength and ability, trying to work it out. And what's the scripture? It's not by your might. It's not by your power. It's by my spirit that says the Lord. And I know we have to do things. You know, and there's a lot of natural things that we don't want to do. We have to, you know, there's things in life we have to do. But God did not make you to carry the care. That's His job. Our job is to believe. Our job is to follow Him. Our job is to be a light. Our job is to do His will. Our job is to be obedient. That's what we're to do. It's His job is to carry the care. But what we do, and it's so easy to do, is to carry that care ourselves. How many know what I'm talking about today? And that brings with it a stress. It is a burden. It's a weight. It's a heaviness, and trying to, and it's not good for you. Now, so if you're thinking, well, I want to carry this anxiety, I'm going to give you 10 benefits of anxiety. 10 benefits of anxiety. So in case you're wondering, yeah, I want to do this. Number one, first of all, it's not healthy for your mind or your body. We're keeping doctors in business and the massage therapists in business and all these different folks because stress, anxiety, worry takes its toll on your mind and your body. And again, your body's not equipped to handle these things and all kind of ailments and all kind of things that we deal with in our minds and our bodies. So that's the first thing. And we could do a message on that. You can do natural. That's natural studies you can look at there, not even looking at spiritual things. Second thing is it keeps you up at night. Just the stress, the worry, the anxiety. You ever been there? Just can't go to sleep. It's just on your mind. You're thinking about it. Keeps you up at night. How many know that's not good? To be going through your day tired and exhausted and having no energy. The third thing, it may cause you to consume more food, nicotine, alcohol, or drugs. More than you need. And it's just, you know, I used to work at a restaurant, and I remember, you know, it was a very busy restaurant, a high-end restaurant, and we used to have this break time, and I lived real close to the restaurant, and I would always go home for my break because you go down to the break room, and it was just like, it was like a fog in there. People are just smoking away. They are so stressed out and just smoking cigarette after cigarette. So I said, I can't eat my meal in this, so I would go home. But what? It's just the stress, the anxiety. Got to do something to give me some relief. And so we'll do that. We'll overeat. We'll use other things to medicate and to hopefully help that pain go away. Another thing, benefit, of anxiety is, it steals your joy. How many know the Lord wants us to have joy? And but when you have all these problems and burdens and cares, you can almost just see it on people. And He wants us to have joy in the midst of all that's happening. So it steals your joy. It distracts you. Another benefit, it distracts you from being present with people. Have you ever been around somebody that, you know, they're there but they're not there? They're just so burdened, so issues of life. It's like they're not even there. They're just somewhere else. That may be, you know, your neighbor right now. It may be you. You know, just so many things going on. It's difficult to even be present. Another one is you're so focused on yourself, it keeps you from giving life to others. One of the best remedies for problems and things you're going through is to minister to someone else. But so many times you're just so focused on my needs and the problems that I have, it's difficult to reach out to someone else. Another benefit, not in faith. When you're in worry, when you're in fear, you're in anxiety, you're not in faith. That means you're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit. If you're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you're going to miss His leading. And that means you're missing out on things that He has for you. I like what Oral Roberts used to say, miracles are coming toward you or past you every day. Well, I want to be in position. I want to be sensitive. And when those miracles are coming towards me, I want to grab them. But how many know, at times, you know, just not sensitive. Again, you're focused on yourself. Another benefit, it's conducive to making bad decisions. When you're stressed, you're in worry, you're in fear, you're not going to make a good decision. You can't make a decision with all of that heaviness going on. And if you do, you're going to make the wrong decision. Second best is enemy of the best. We want to make the best decision. Another benefit is it weighs you down. And you can be so burdened with care and with the cares of this world that you do nothing. You ever felt paralyzed? You ever felt there's things you know you have to do, but you just don't have the strength or the energy? There's just so much, you don't even know where to begin. So it paralyzes you. And the last one, number 10, benefit of anxiety. Who's wanting some anxiety today? Goes over to Mark 4. You remember this about Mark 4 where the sower sows the word? And that's a really great chapter to read. But in there it talks about the cares. Same word here. The cares. Anxious. Anxiety. Worry. Fretful. It says that the cares of the world choke and suffocate the word, that it becomes fruitless. And that means that the word's not working. And if the word's not working, you're in trouble, because that word feeds your spirit. That word brings life. That word renews your mind. The Bible says that the word brings health and healing to your body. The word brings wisdom. And so it chokes it. So I can't really think of anything good about anxiety. And it's His will for us to be free from that. So now let's look at peace. The other word, peace. Peace is peace of mind. Tranquility. It's a sense of divine favor. It's a state of rest. It's quietness. It's calmness. It's absence of strife. And it's harmony. God has a peace for us that is so strong, it's unaffected by outward circumstances. You know what I mean? A peace, a calmness that's so strong, it's not affected by anything that's happening in our lives. And I guess the amazing image that I have of this is Jesus asleep in the hurricane. Bible says it's a mega storm. And he's asleep in the boat. It's rocking. The disciples are freaking out. All hell is breaking loose. They think they're going to die. And what's Jesus doing? He's sleeping. He's unaffected by it. And that's a good image for us to have. It's order in the midst of chaos. Chaos can be breaking out around you, and there's order. It's not panicking. It's not acting rashly. It's not acting impulsively. And I like, we'll go ahead. Let's go ahead and read it in the Amplified. Philippians 4, verse 6. Again, it says, "Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of the soul, assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace that transcends all understanding shall garrison," it's a military word, "garrison and mount guard over your hearts." One translation says a sentry over your hearts and your minds in Christ. And so what, you know, the image of these guards around us, that the peace of God would guard us and protect us from thoughts, from fiery darts, from situations, from circumstances. And it's a calmness in the midst of the storm. That's what the Lord has for us, or what He wants for us and He desires for us. And not every once in a while that we get some relief at a service, or every once in a while somebody prays for us, or they have an encouraging word for us. He wants to live us to live here. And so we make a choice, we make a decision of what we want. And prayer is a key. Prayer is an essential. Again, prayer is talking to God. What prayer is? Prayer is giving God your burden. Prayer is giving God your worries. What does it say over in 1 Peter 5? Casting your care upon the Lord, for He cares for you. It's giving it to Him. Giving Him all your troubles, your anxieties, giving Him your problems. M.R. Vincent wrote this, "Peace is the fruit of believing prayer." Peace is the fruit of believing prayer. Not just prayer. Not just saying some words or some memorized words. Believing prayer. Prayer that's full of faith. Prayer that's a confident prayer. "The cure for worry is the realization we're not left to handle life alone. Every situation, everything we face it with God, our Heavenly Father. We face it with Jesus. We face it with the Holy Spirit. Everything that we face, we are not alone. You're not alone in your finances and in your health and in your relationships and in your purpose and your career and business and whatever. You are not alone. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And He's a kind and generous Heavenly Father. So we're to take everything to Him in prayer. There's nothing too great for His power and nothing too small for the Father's care. And I think about, you know, a child, and I mean, they'll get a scrape, but what do? They run to their parents. They draw something in class. What do? They run to their parents. Look what I did. There's nothing too big for God, nothing too small. He has the heart of a father. He's interested. He cares. He's sitting there, and you know, and we've talked about that, just like the loving father, you know, the prodigal son story. We've talked about that. It's not a father that's just kind of just sitting there minding his own business. No, it's a father that's looking. He's on the edge of his seat. And that's the same thing with God. He's sitting there waiting for you to come, waiting for you to talk to Him, waiting for you to bring your burden. He wants to take it. He wants you to have peace. James chapter 5, verse 16, Amplified says this, "The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man." Do we have any righteous people in here today? If you are in Christ, you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. You've been made righteous. You have a right standing with the Father. You are a son and daughter. You can talk to Him. There's no barriers. Not even your sin is a barrier. Don't run from Jesus. Run to Him. You make a mistake, run to Jesus. Don't run from God. Prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power. Everybody say tremendous power. No, tremendous power is working. Tremendous power is working in my finances. Tremendous power is working in my body. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead is working in me. That power is working in my family. So we got to believe. You got to know some things and believe some things. Makes tremendous power available. It's bringing the power of God on the scene. The power of God into that situation. Dynamic in its working. Dynamite power. Hebrews 4:16. Amplified says this, "Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near the throne of condemnation." The throne of hitting you over the head with a baseball bat. The throne of wrath, the throne of anger, the throne of "I'm going to get you," the throne of "I'm mad at you." The throne of "I'm going," you know, the throne of punishment. Throne of judgment. "Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help, well-timed help, coming just when we need it." Your help is on the way. Your answer is on the way. Your provision's on the way. The healing's on the way. But again, that miracle's coming towards you or past you every day. We got to be in position to receive it. And that position to receive is a position of peace. You got to drive out your fears and your worries. And let's let peace stand guard. Let it garrison over your heart and your mind. A peace that surpasses all understanding. Well, Pastor, what do I do in my prayer time? I don't even know where to start. What do I do? Well, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked. I'm going to spend extra time in prayer this week, and I'll just share with you my secrets of what I do when I spend time in prayer. First thing I do is I go to the Word. I go to the Word, and it's either study or specific things I'm looking at that I'm dealing with. This particular week, I've been studying the book of Colossians. Now, this is personal now. This isn't studying for preaching. I'm studying the book of Colossians. I've been reading a proverb. I've been reading a psalm. And I've been reading some scriptures on provision. Various scriptures on provision. So spend some time. Now, you can do a verse. You can do confessions. You can study the word, however you want to do it. But put the word in because you're loading the gun that you're about to fire. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You're putting the word in through your eyes, your ears, your mouth, into your heart. It produces faith. So whenever you pray, and then again, I know sometimes you don't have time. That's why we just want to be in season and out, you know. But you're getting in a place now to speak and to say some things. Oh, I didn't mention I have my journal with me, right? Did I mention that? My yellow legal pad or my journal, ready to write down some things. Write down things I'm studying, write down things that he's showing. All right. Then I'll bring my needs to God. Whatever I'm dealing with that day or things that are on my mind, things I'm thinking about, I'll bring it to him. I'll ask him. A lot of times I'll write those things down. I had a large amount of money that I was asking God for this week. Whew, it's good to be me. And then I spend time praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit, again, it's a... when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, one of the benefits of being baptized in the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues, praying in the Spirit. Paul said, I pray in the Spirit, and I pray with my understanding. I'll just spend some time then praying in the Spirit, and then saying, Holy Spirit, guide me and direct me in my prayers. Sometimes I'll just continue to pray in the Spirit for a long time. Other times, things will pop up into my heart. People, situations, and speak out those things. And then I have my journal there, and I'm writing down any revelations. There's times he'll say something to you by the Spirit of God. Write that down. It'll be encouragement to you. Now this week, I've been spending some extra time praying for you. I went through Paul's prayers, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, Colossians 1, and Philippians 1, what we call Paul's prayers. And there's about 20 different things in there that Paul was praying for the church. And I've been praying those things for you. Eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you'd be filled with the fullness of God, that you'd have a walk fully pleasing to Him. There's about 20 different things. Praying those things for you. So, you know, that we would know the love of God. These are some power. And so, you know, prayer as you start, it is kind of selfish. But as you grow and mature like in anything else, you begin to get over and say, God, I'm available. What do you want me to pray about? We've already covered my needs, just a few things here. What do you want to cover? And that's when it gets exciting because you're praying for other people, other different situations. And I get really more excited about those things happening than I do about the things that are happening for myself. We got some time today, and I thought maybe we'd just go ahead and have some prayer time here at the end of the service. And let you start off your week on the right way, and I'll just help you. And we'll just all pretend we're in my prayer time here. You want to do that? I've got some scriptures for you. And again, what he was talking about in Philippians 4 is about provision and about events. And I thought that'd be a good place for us to start today. Anybody here need some provision? Anybody here have a need? Amen, brother. Well, I got some scriptures for you. Handpicked for you. Psalm 23, verse 1. And you can turn these verses into confessions. You can speak them out. You know, get them into your heart. So good. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. One translation says, I shall not lack. Praise God. I'm already happy. That's only the first scripture. He's my shepherd. He cares for me. He watches over me. He loves me. Wants every need met. The desires of my heart, my wants, my needs. He's the good shepherd. Malachi 3, for all those in the tithing challenge. Trust challenge here. Malachi 3, verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. There may be food in my house. Try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing, there will not be room enough to receive it. Yes. Woo! See, you can do that in your prayer time. You may not be comfortable doing it in church, but woo! Shake up your house. Shake up your neighbors. Knock on your door. What's going on over here? Well, I'm just praying. Come on in, join me. No, I don't think so. The windows of heaven. Who wants to have the windows of heaven open above your life? Yes. Pouring out blessings you don't have room enough to contain. Amen. I mean, that'll bring some joy. Yes. We have some tithers in this place? Yes. Do we have some generous people in here who bring offerings? Well, he's talking to you. Yes. He's talking to you. That's you. Now, the enemy is going to tell you lies. Every day he's going to try to tell you lies. They're not open. They're closed. God's mad. You've sinned. You've made mistakes. But he's a big fat liar.
Amen. That's right.
And liar, liar, his pants are on fire. Forever. Eternal burning pants. Philippians 4:19, y'all know this verse. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all, everybody say all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We act like God's broke. We act like he doesn't have enough for our light bill. He doesn't have enough for our car payment or whatever. He doesn't have enough. I mean, what? Our God is not homeless. He's got a very nice home. He's got a home for you. And we've said this before, we act like we've got a hot water heater of blessing. I don't know what you got. I got 80 gallon at my house, but you may have 30 or 40 or 10 or whatever it is. And we act like it's just a limited supply of blessings coming into our lives. But with God, he's got Clark Hill sitting out there for us. That's your reservoir. Have you ever been up there and ridden around? I mean, it is massive. God's got that for every single person. He's got unlimited reserves. But are we willing to ask him in faith? Are we willing to believe for it? And how do you know when you're really believing for something? When you expect it to happen. You know what I'm talking about? When you expect it. You're not in faith if you're not expecting. When you expect it, you have confidence. You know what I'm saying? And so there is a joy. There is a peace. You know, anxiousness is a lack of confidence. But when you're confident, I mean, you just know. You know that you know something's going to happen. My help is on the way. I don't know the exact moment, but I know it's on the way. So you can live in joy. You can be in peace amidst the storm. Now, I love Romans 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things. Everybody go, You got to be a believer to believe that. Freely, freely give us all things. And then my last scripture, and you can add all yours, but these are just ones I had for you today. 3 John 2. Beloved. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, beloved.
Beloved.
Maybe we should change the way we speak around here. How are you, beloved?
Good, beloved. How about you?
Maybe not. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper, thrive, flourish, increase, move forward, do better, that you may prosper in all things, and be in health, just as your soul prospers. All right, everybody stand. Praise God. Y'all, do you feel some confidence here? Some boldness on the inside? You want to speak some things? And you can, you know, I know we're, you know, we got people around us. But I'm going to go ahead and declare some things, and you can just agree. But you say some things. If there's something that He puts on your heart. I declare right now in the name of Jesus, and we just took talking about this week, I call every bill paid. I call every debt paid. Paid in the name of Jesus. And then I'm declaring there's over and above. And that we've got wisdom with our resources. We know exactly what to do to handle every situation. And I talk to the devil. Devil, you take your hands off the finances of Good News Church and the people of Good News Church. I rebuke you right now. Get! Get in the name of Jesus. And finances, you come to us right now from expected and unexpected sources right now. Everybody say, provision come. Provision come. Provision come to this church. Provision come to my family.
Provision come to me.
Provision come to my neighbor.
You have to come in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. We are blessed to be a blessing. Father, there's some things we got to do. It's time for breakthrough. It's time to move forward. We got some things to do in nations. We got things to do in this city. We got places to go and things to do. So I declare right now a breakthrough. Moving forward. Not just a little bit moving forward. Father, right now, just a lunging, a leaping, a lurching forward. Right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God.